Good to see everybody this morning. Psalm 106, verse 1 proclaims, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His steadfast love endures forever." We've come to worship this morning on the Sunday prior to Thanksgiving. It's been a crazy year. It's been a hard year. Just for our nation and the world, if nothing else had taken place in our individual lives. It's been challenging. And then we know in our own church, the elephant in the room is about half of our families have suffered loss. What do we do with that? Well, one of the things we do is we come and worship. And when we come and worship, we give thanks to the Lord. How? So many things have happened this year. And we give thanks. One thing, we're here. We give thanks another reason, because if it has been rough on us personally, the Lord has seen us through. So this morning, whatever life has been for you during this past year on this Sunday before Thanksgiving, let us come and be reminded. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, and His steadfast love endures what? During the good times? No. His steadfast love endures forever. So let us give thanks to God also this morning that He has brought us together to worship His most holy name. Looking at some announcements this morning. First of all, the beautiful flowers in the sanctuary are given by John and Kay Eady to the glory of God in honor of their children, their grandchildren, their great-grandchildren, and they've got a new boy on the way. And so we thank them for the flowers this morning. Looking at the back page of your bulletin, please note next Sunday, for next Sunday only, we will have one service at 10 a.m. That's next Sunday only, one service at 10 a.m. Please note the toy drive for the Greene County Christmas Stocking Fund. Those toys are will be picked up on December 14th. So please, if you feel led to support that, please do so and follow the directions that are in the bulletin. Also, please note that you have supported the Thanksgiving distribution very well, and we thank you for that, for the food pantry. They do the same thing for Christmas, and the items needed are listed in your bulletin. Hope that you feel led to support that drive as well. And one other announcement, if you give cash for your collection but would like credit for that through church records, as you know, with all of this COVID stuff, we're trying to keep touching items to a minimum. So if you would like collection envelopes, please contact the church office and we'll mail you some so that you will have those. And that's for cash. If it's on your check, if you write a check, all of that's on there. But if you give cash and would like credit and need cash and need envelopes for cash collection, please contact the church office and we'll mail you those so that you will have those. Are there announcements that should be made that were not made this morning? Well, as we say, we are so thankful that the Lord has brought us together to worship this day. So let us now gather and worship His most holy name. Our gracious and loving Lord, we do indeed thank you that you are with us, that you have invited us into your throne room, that you have brought your people together to worship your most holy name. So as we proceed, we pray that our hearts and minds are in such a place that we receive your messages to us, and even more important, you receive our praise and thanksgiving. We pray that at the conclusion of this service, your name will have been praised and your people blessed. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen.
Our litany this morning is a litany of thanks. It is a list of only part of the good things that God gives to us every day for the beauty of the earth. Let's join together. For the beauty of the earth, for the glory of the skies, for the love which from our birth over and around us lies, Lord of all, to thee we praise. This our hymn of grateful praise. For the beauty of each hour, of the day and of the night, hill and vale and tree and flower, sun and moon and stars of light,
Lord of all, to thee we praise. This our hymn of grateful praise.
For the joy of human love, brother, sister, parent, child, friends on earth and friends above, for all gentle thoughts and mild,
Lord of all, to thee we raise this our hymn of grateful praise.
For thy church that evermore lifteth holy hands above, offering up on every shore her pure sacrifice of love,
Lord of all, to thee we praise. This our hymn of grateful praise.
For thyself, best gift divine, to the world so freely given, for that great, great love of thine, peace on earth and joy in heaven,
Lord of all, to thee we praise. This our hymn of grateful praise.
As we go to prayer this morning and share our joys and concerns, as always, we do have our prayer list printed in our bulletin. I would highlight two this morning. We remember Scott Wilson. This is Kathy Allen's son. He will be having gallbladder surgery tomorrow. So remember him as he has this surgery. We do remember this morning the family of Dillard Davison. He passed away yesterday evening around 6 o'clock.
and funeral arrangements are pending. McCummins will be in charge of the services. Are there joys or concerns that should be voiced that were not? If not, let us pray. Our most gracious and loving Lord, we come this morning praising your most holy name. We come thanking you for who you are. For we know that you are faithful in all places and circumstances. We know that you are with us when we feel you so closely we feel as if we could almost touch you. And you're faithful in those times when life overwhelms us and our minds tell us that you are still close, but our hearts have a hard time finding you. But Lord, you are always near. You are always faithful. You are always good. You are always loving. So we do pray that we come this morning as thankful people. Thankful for the many blessings that you have bestowed upon us that we are able to recognize. Thankful for the blessings that you have bestowed upon us that in the busyness of life or perhaps in our self-centeredness we fail to see. We thank you for your faithfulness in those difficult times. For we see those difficult times through because of your strength and your presence. And thus, Lord, it's in that knowledge that we do bring before you the names on our prayer list that you already know, the situations that we called aloud and still others that are silent upon the heart of the individual in you. We just pray your healing touch upon each situation. You know our desire. Our desire is that every person would receive complete physical healing in this life. Yet, Lord, we also know that you know things that we could never know. You see things that we never see. And so, Lord, we have no doubt of your ability. But, Lord, at the same time, we want to trust you so that we do submit to your will, our loved ones, knowing that you will answer our prayers for their best, for you love them more than we even could. We do pray for those undergoing surgery that you will guide the hands of all the medical personnel involved, that the surgery will be complete and will be successful. We pray for those who grieve. We pray that your loving arms will wrap around them, supplying the peace that passes all understanding. For Lord, so many times in trying to comfort ourselves or trying to comfort someone else, we'll say, well, we know they're in a better place. And Lord, though we know that that is true, and though it is 100% true, there is still an empty place in our hearts and lives for that person that we love that is no longer with us. And so, Lord, we just pray this morning for your peace to envelop the Davison family this morning. And Lord, we do thank you as always. We do not ever want to forget to thank you for the freedom that we enjoy as Americans. Sometimes that freedom leads to persons expressing opinions that we think are detrimental or at the very least just aggravate us to no end. But Lord, thank you for that freedom. And Lord, thank you for those who are protecting that freedom right now. Those in military roles and civilian roles standing in the gap between those who would do us harm and us. May your protection be upon those who protect us. May your healing be upon the wounded, the visible and invisible wounds. And may your peace be upon the families whose loved ones gave it all. And gracious Lord, we do thank you for the family of God that gathers at Walker United Methodist Church. We thank you for how you have blessed us. We thank you that we gain strength every time we come into this room as we encounter your Holy Spirit in a unique way in worship. We thank you that we love and support each other and that love began in you. We thank you for the opportunity to serve through this location. So gracious Lord, we just thank you for leading us to this group of Christians. And gracious Lord, remind us when we do leave these grounds that your Holy Spirit will still be with us. So we ask that you will lead, guide, and direct our every thought, word, and deed, and bring us back to worship you and to encourage each other. We offer our prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to say when we would pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Most gracious and loving Lord, we thank you that you have blessed us beyond all measure. We thank you for the faithfulness of your people who bring back a portion of those gifts back to you to be used to further your kingdom through the church. And so, Lord, we do pray that your blessings will continue on each gift and giver, and that you guide us as a congregation, that every penny that has been entrusted will be used according to your will, to further your kingdom in this community and throughout the world. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen.
The psalmist tells us, in all things, give thanks. You notice he didn't say, for all things, give thanks. This year we have a lot not to be thankful for. But he does say, in all things, in all circumstances, give thanks. And I'd like to add, because you have much to be thankful for. I've heard an old saying, to be happy, to live a fulfilled life, you need three things. Something to do. And it's my belief that as long as we're on this earth, for every moment we're here, God has a purpose for us. He has something for us to do. Somebody to love. And I don't know about you, but I don't have to go any farther than this room to look at a whole bunch of folks that I love.
Amen.
And the other thing is something to hope for. As Christians, we have the ultimate hope through Jesus Christ. We have the hope of heaven.
Amen.
So we have nothing not to be happy about.
Amen.
In all things, let's give thanks.
Scripture lesson this morning is Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into His presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is He that made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever. And His faithfulness to all generations. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. It's amazing how some passages are just super easy to understand, yet so many times so difficult to live out. Psalm 100 is one of those passages. It is short. To try to summarize it would be longer than the psalm itself and not even poetic. Basically, Psalm 100 reminds us that we belong to God, and thus believers are called to be people of gladness. This morning, I feel led to simply point out some of the lessons of the passage and then ask us all to consider, how closely are we following the calling of all Christians to be people of gladness? I read Psalm 100 in three translations and two paraphrases. Now, real quick Bible lesson here. A translation is where a group of people have taken the original languages of the Greek and Hebrew and tried to, as you would, translate a language into English. A paraphrase often takes, say, the King James Bible and tries to make it readable, but not necessarily translate. So just a real quick little lesson. When you're shopping for a Bible, it's important whether you're looking for a translation or a paraphrase. Both have their place, but it's good to know the difference. So I read three translations and two paraphrases of this passage. Three versions of it said, serve the Lord with gladness. One said, worship the Lord with gladness. One said, obey Him gladly. Notice a theme here. It seems that all versions use some form of the term glad. Now, it would appear the term glad is important. And even though I felt like, as I read, I knew what glad meant, I decided to look up some formal definitions. Some of the definitions include experiencing or exhibiting joy and pleasure, appreciative, providing joy and pleasure, very willing, pleased, bright, and cheerful. Notice the attitude the psalm says is the calling of the believer. We're called to be people of gladness. We experience joy and pleasure in worshiping and serving the Lord. We serve the Lord willingly. We are pleased to do so. Service to God provides joy and pleasure both to the servant and God. The servant of God is bright and cheerful. And consider, the psalm was written before the coming of Christ. The psalm is written before the resurrection, which defeated all human enemies. Before Jesus, the psalm was proclaiming that the believer, the servant of God, was one of a glad heart and attitude. That the believer, the servant of God, is bright and cheerful. Now it begs the thought that if the psalmist, centuries before the birth of Christ, centuries before the resurrection of Christ, was calling the believer to be glad in one's relationship with God, how much more those of us born this side of the resurrection, how much more are we called to be people of joy and gladness? So you know the first thought that enters every, I've learned never to say never and never say always. So you know the first thought that enters most humans' minds when we are instructed in anything. A little word we learned right before we learned the word no as little children. We learned no first. If you don't remember yourself, you remember your kids. First, we learn how to say no. And then we learn how to say why. Why? And then as adults, we came to the point that whenever somebody asks something of us, we ask, why should I do it? And then kind of parenthetical, what's in it for me? Why should I be so thrilled to worship and serve God? Why should I be so cheerful? Well, reference Psalm 100, verse 3. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. It's important who we belong to. You ever noticed animals? This is not a dig this morning because Sally would remind me when I get home what I think about my cat. But have you noticed how some people treat their dogs or their cats? I have to admit that I'm not going to point any fingers. But I know some folks that if we Christians believed in reincarnation, which we don't, but if we did, I'd like to come back to some of these people's dogs or cats. Man, they are treated good. They are treated better than some well-treated children. So if I was a dog or a cat, and I have some ideas where I might like to live. Sometime notice some pastures as you drive about. You'll notice that some have well-maintained fences. As much as can be determined by the owner, the pasture is well-maintained. The grass is obviously fertilized and the like. Others have fences that are so dilapidated that the only cow that could not walk through is a cow who could not walk. The grass is not fertilized, and the pasture may actually have large bare spots or stuff growing in it that you gotta have no clue what it is. 99 times out of 100, and I'm just an observer, but I have noticed 99 times out of 100, the condition of the cow directly corresponds to the condition of the pasture. If I were a cow, as I drive around, I know which pasture I'd want to live in. The psalmist proclaims that we are the sheep of God's pasture. We are not thrown into just any pasture. David declared in the 23rd Psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Why should we be so glad about serving God? Why are we called to be cheerful people? We receive such a calling because we are Christians and we belong to God. We are the sheep of God's pasture. And being the sheep of God's pasture, we receive only the best care from the Almighty Creator. We receive far more than we are worth. We do nothing to receive the love, and we do nothing to receive the care we receive from God. Yet we humans are the most prized of God's creation. God does not treat us according to our merits. God's treatment of us is determined by God's illogical, limitless love. Hence the psalmist proclaims, "Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us. We are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture." We are not merely the product of biological processes. We are not merely here. We are not here to merely get all we can before we die. We are special. We are special because we belong to God. We are special to God, and thus it seems logical that God's people will be cheerful and be people full of joy and gladness. And yet such is not necessarily the case. Now please, any of you with a Presbyterian background, don't take this next illustration as a dig. It is a point that I feel needs to be made, and it's according to what the article said. But I believe it made a good point. So if you've got Presbyterian background, don't think this is a dig, because it's not. But I read an article that said a conference was held at a Presbyterian church in Omaha. And people were given helium-filled balloons and told to release them at some point in the service when they felt like expressing the joy in their hearts. According to the article, it says since they were Presbyterians, they were not free to say, "Hallelujah, praise the Lord." So all through the service, balloons were released. But at the conclusion of the service, over one third of the balloons were still being held. Do we fail to release our balloons? And if we do, do we fail to release our balloons because we have nothing to praise God for? Or do we fail to release our balloons because we're afraid of looking foolish? I don't think the psalm was talking about praise in the worship setting only, even though that was definitely included. I'm convinced the psalmist was talking about the worship setting and the attitude through which we conduct our lives. In other words, when we come to worship, even though, yes, we're most of us in this room are more reserved, right? You know, that's okay. But we come to worship, and hopefully, at least within our hearts, we are praising and worshiping and shouting our praise to God. And that's good. That's what worship is. That's part of what worship is about. But too often, and I'm afraid I've been guilty of this myself, way too often we come and in our own way we worship and we praise and we shout to God, and then we go out into the world and we're down in the mouth. And it begs a question to me and to anyone who may resemble these remarks. Can there really be such a thing as a down-in-the-mouth Christian? But sadly, some of the most down-in-the-mouth negative people I have ever met claim the name of Christ. And I'm not their judge. But there's a glaring inconsistency there. Oliver Wendell Holmes was a member of the United States Supreme Court for 30 years. Some have said that his mind, his wit, and work earned him the unofficial title of the greatest justice since John Marshall. At one point in his life, Justice Holmes explained his career choice. He said, quote, "I might have entered the ministry if certain clergymen I knew had not looked and acted so much like undertakers," end quote. Now, to be fair to modern day funeral directors, he retired from the court in 1932. So it was a different day and time. But I think you still get the point. Granted, we all have some challenging days. But can there really be such a thing as a down-in-the-mouth Christian? Because we are God's people. We are the sheep of God's pasture. I know of no higher position one could hold in the entire created order. And in light of our place in God's scheme, the psalmist proclaimed, "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs." And we will do that once COVID is over. "Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. For the Lord is good and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations." Thursday is the official day we celebrate Thanksgiving. It is the one day of the year designed to focus on gratitude. If it has been a good year despite COVID, we express our obvious blessings. If it has been a trying year, which in many ways 2020 has been, we express our gratitude for God's faithfulness and strength empowering us to meet those challenges. Psalm 100 reminds us that joy, gladness, cheerfulness is not a one-day thing. Joy, gladness, cheerfulness is an attitude, and that attitude affects us and it affects those around us. Do you know anyone who is virtually, if not always, positive? Now, I'm not talking about a fake type positiveness. I'm talking about the person who is genuinely and normally positive and cheerful. The person who insists on being down in the mouth can't stand to be around a cheerful person long. When we are around genuinely cheerful people, one of two things happen. Either that cheerfulness and that positivity rubs off on us, or we got to get out of Dodge. Because we can't stand it. So one of my goals as I consider Thanksgiving in light of Psalm 100 is to affirmatively answer that call to gladness. And when I mean that, I don't mean that I affirm the truth of the psalm. I mean that through the strength of God, I am seeking to affirmatively answer in the sense that my life exudes cheerfulness, exudes gladness, exudes hope. I hope my last day of being down in the mouth is over. Don't ask Sally next week. But I hope my last down in the mouth day is past me. Perhaps as more of us who claim to be Christians become more genuinely cheerful, genuinely glad, Genuinely thankful people, those who do not know Jesus might be attracted to him. So I would just conclude by saying, enjoy Thanksgiving Day and all that goes with it. Only do not let your thankfulness be limited to Thursday. Let it become our life's attitude. Let us pray. Our most gracious and loving Lord, as human beings, we've got to confess, not every day that we wake up just seems like a day we're ready to charge into. Some days are easier to deal with than others. Some days are more challenging than others. Yet, Lord, it appears through not only Psalm 100, but so many of your Psalms and so much of the teaching of Christ, and even then into the teaching of the apostles, that it's not our circumstance, it's not what kind of day we're having, but it is our mind, our heart, our soul, our attitude that is so important. And so, Lord, you know what each person in this room is dealing with, not only in the universal stuff that we're all dealing with, but you know their personal struggles, you know their personal challenges, you know their personal issues. And they're not always fun. But Lord, please instill in us as your people a heart of joy and gladness and hope, so that on those good days we recognize them and we thank you. And on those hard days, as Putt said, we're not necessarily thankful for the hard time, but we're thankful that you're with us in it, and we thank you for the hope beyond it. So, Lord, help each one of us to be such people of joy and cheer, gladness and hope, that it rubs off on other people. And perhaps there might be some who are attracted to you because they see a better way. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen. And would you please stand for our benediction? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of His Holy Spirit be with you all, now and forevermore. Amen. And Alice will escort you out.